You are joining Making a Difference with Melissa Clark, a new show that shares the compelling stories and voices of well-known and everyday people who change the world in big and small ways. Enjoy our guests, call in, or just listen to be inspired, for this show was made with you in mind. Please join us every Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with our special guests. And you can listen to our recast at www.melissaclarkshow.com.
Hi, thank you so much for joining us here on Making a Difference. I'm Melissa Billy Clark. You know, there's no other magical place in the world like New York City. And unfortunately, we have to watch this beautiful city go underway until these unprecedented times are over. And like they say, anything can happen in a New York minute. And I know that my hometown will come back stronger than ever. Until then, we invited a Broadway critic who will discuss the fate of shows, an unstruggling artist, and he'll explain why, and a New York City real estate who believes it's not too smart to get rid of your apartment right now. Take a look. So we are here with Bob Massimi. He is a chief drama critic at Jerick Media and My Life Publications. Bob, thank you so much for joining us today and giving us insight on what's going on with Broadway. How are you?
Good. I wish I could. You could see me. I could see you.
Yeah, we're having difficulties with this video right now, but as long as we can hear you, that's all that matters. Because you do have useful information, and you know, I'm so interested, and I'm sure the audience is interested in learning what is going on with Broadway. So right now, there are 97,000 jobs just on Broadway. So New York City is going to be losing a lot of money between the restaurants, garages, bodegas, the shops. How are we going to survive, Bob?
Well, I think Broadway made a mistake by first saying we're not going to reopen until January of 2021, and then made a bigger mistake by saying not going to reopen to June of 2021, because Moderna, it was brought forth on Monday, is very close to a vaccine. So I think Broadway kind of handcuffed themselves. Both by saying this and psychologically to the actors and the employees of Broadway, because mm-hmm. some of them are going to walk and they're going to move out of the New York area.
Which is happening.
They should just wait and see what's happening with any vaccines, because Broadway could open in January or February.
Why did they just come out and say, we're going to close until spring of next year? Why did that happen?
I really can't answer that. I think it was really foolish with the league's announcement of that. I think they should just wait. And, you know, one week they're putting up the posters for Hugh Jackman and The Music Man, supposed to open in April. And then the next week they say we're not going to open until June. And I just don't understand why they made an announcement like that.
What are these actors doing right now to survive?
Well, a lot of them are doing podcasts. They're doing plays. You know, there's a minimal charge on that. And they're trying to survive that way.
Oh, so they're charging for their podcasts.
Some are, some are not. Mm. You know, I reviewed Tartuffe, I guess, 3 months ago. Mm-hmm. And it was virtual and it was awful. But, it's just not conducive to the eye. These virtual plays, and I think they're better off just, if they have recording of past plays, they should just bring those forth rather than people reading from a script on 8 split screens. And
is that what they're doing now? I haven't seen any of those. Wow. Yes. How much are they charging for something like that?
It varies. $5. York Theater is a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Broadway World, which is doing quite a bit. Some are more, some are less. I think they're just really trying to wing it, and it's not really working too well.
We're going to lose, the restaurant people are not going to be able to work, right? I mean, all of our tourists, they come and see these plays.
Right.
And you think we're going to be okay? Or you think there's going to be a vaccine that comes out and they're going to say, all right, we're starting up again?
I really don't know. First, the city's pretty unsafe right now with the homeless and everything.
So right.
People are moving out of the city. 400,000 people so far have moved. There's a 4-month wait for a van. So it's a disaster what's going on in the city itself. And it's a disaster with Broadway. And then, you know, what are they going to bring, the plays they bring? I mean, yeah. If we're going to see a lot of these protest plays coming on Broadway, people want to be entertained. They don't want to be lectured. They want light thinking. If they come forth with those plays, Broadway could go out of business because they don't want to see this protest. They want to be entertained. So Broadway better come back, and they better come back smartly.
So Bob, when did you start getting into theater? You must be so sad that this is happening because this is your job.
It's a hobby.
It's a hobby.
Yeah, I do it as a hobby. I've always have produced and written altruistically. I never really went in to make money. I just love it. I was when I was in grade school, my drama teacher, who was very, very big with regional theater and Broadway and off-Broadway, she called my mom into school. She wanted me to be an actor. And, back in the 60s, actors, entertainers aren't what we make them to be today, heroes. They were really second-class citizens. And my father told me, actors are a dime a dozen, and really talked me out of it. But I went to school in the city. I went to see Death Trap in 1980 and just really fell in love with the theater. And I went to school in the city, as I said. I worked they had twofers at a lot of the New York schools where you could go two for the price of one. So I used to bring a date. It made for a nice night. I used to go about every other week.
Right.
And my senior year in college, I wrote, my features editor came to me and said, we'd really like you to write for the school paper. So I wrote my senior year at the Manhattan College Quadrangle. And then when I got out of school, I wrote for the Bergen News Sun Sentinel. In the 90s, I bought the Palisadian and new weekly newspaper, and I used to write for the Palisadian as well. So I've always been interested in the theater since the 80s and got on the board of the Metropolitan Playhouse in 92 and was on that through the 90s. We produced a lot of great bodies of work, whether it was Miller or Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. And it was a really classy theater company. I was very proud to serve on the board of the Metropolitan Playhouse. And they now are on West 4th Street. I spoke to the artistic director, Alex, just this week, asking him how he's doing. They're doing podcasts and they're getting by.
So what's your favorite, Bob, play that's really famous that you really like?
Well, I have seen, over 1,000 plays, so I break it down by genres: comedy, thrillers, comedies, musicals, dance musicals. You know, Death Trap is always special to me because that brought me back to the theater. Mm-hmm. Comedies, it's only a play with Nathan Lane and F. Murray Abrams was absolutely hilarious. Stockard Channing was in it. She's a great, great stage actress.
Mm-hmm. From Greece. That's Rizzo from Greece.
Yeah. Oh, she's phenomenal. Les Mis as a musical is a benchmark, I feel, for what a play should be. Kiss Me, Kate in 2000 was great. I just saw Kiss Me, Kate at Studio 54 last year. And it had a diverse cast, and it wasn't as good as the original 2000.
Do they do a lot of plays at Studio 54? I love that place.
Yeah.
I met Ian Schrager.
Yeah. Well, I used to go to Studio 54 back in the early 80s, and it was when Rebell and Schrager had it. And then they went to jail, and a corporation took it over. 81, 82, 83, it wasn't as much fun. 54... playwright Roundabout took over 54, and they do a lot of great works there. I saw A Lifespan of a Fact. I've seen about The Sound Inside with Mary Louise Parker, who's an excellent stage actress. I see a lot of theater there. They own the American Airlines. They own 54 and the Laura Pels Theater. So they do a lot of great work around about.
Thank you, Bob, so much for taking your time with us. You can read Bob's critic. He's a chief drama critic at Jerick Media and My Life Publications. You can check out his work. And thank you, Bob, so much.
Hopefully, thank you for having me.
Talk soon. Thank you. Okay, hopefully Broadway will come back.
And come back the right way.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bob. Thank you. Bye.
Images provided by Andrew Werner, titled Faces Without Places.
So we are here with Guy Stanley Filoche. Filoche, did I say that right?
You did. Bravo.
Yeah.
First take. I love it.
You're amazing. Guy is represented by the Cavalier Galleries in New York City. His work is contemporary, modern. He's amazing. He's such a cool person. Guy, thank you so much for being here. This is your job. You are a full-time artist. So how has business been during the pandemic?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on your show.
Thank you.
Big fan, so I'm so honored to sit here and shoot the shit with you.
Yeah, like we do this on our private time too. How was your business during the pandemic?
You know, it's interesting. You know, I've been very, very lucky because business has been really busy for me. I've been really busy. I've been in the studio nonstop producing work. And it's just been one of those weird things where a lot of my collectors are buying massive homes now. So they went from like having like, you know, a 3-bedroom apartment in New York City, giving that up and buying these massive homes. So with big homes means big wall space.
Oh, wow. It was kind of to your advantage. Yeah, because everybody, yeah. We're going to be talking to Sylvia Edwards, talking about the rents and everything that you actually hooked us up. Thank you so much for that. So it was to your advantage and these people need to fill up their walls and they're giving you a call. Wow. Do you think some other artists' work are compromised during the pandemic?
Well, you know, by compromise, you know, meaning in, you have to ask, you know, are you asking that, you know, the work's not selling or,
do they have to, it's a piece of artwork that's $10,000 and they're going down to $5,000. I mean,
No, not at all. It's so funny too, because in my personal opinion, I think what's happening in the art market is stuff that's selling right now are stuff that's like under $5,000 or six figures. You know, that's that that market where, you know, the $20,000 to $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 market, I don't think it, a lot of stuff is not moving as much as before, you know? So, you know, stuff that's under $5,000, me and you could go buy, because we buy, we love it. But six figures is like, that's for collectors. Those are for the big boys. And those are stuff that's been moving, you know, and I've been very lucky that, you know, I was able to move a couple of pieces at that price point and everything right now. And even now too, even like, you know, stuff that are, you know, even my smaller pieces that are like, you know, 40, 50, I've been very lucky that, you know, people are still collecting and buying and everything like that. So I think the value of art went up. I think the art market is doing extremely well. Mm-hmm. And I also think that, you know, as we're preparing for the second wave, I think the market's going to do even better. The art market is going to even do better.
Wow.
Because of the second wave and people are home decorating more, spending more time at home and everything like that. So, yeah.
The lucky ones.
Well, it just gotta be consistent.
Fortunate one, yeah.
Oh, you just gotta be consistent, man. You gotta be consistent with the work. You know what I mean? Still stay true to what the work's about, and stay true to who you are, and just keep grinding.
And what did you do during the pandemic? We were in the heart of the pandemic, and you actually went and bought other people's artwork. Why did you do that? What was your motive?
Yeah, well, it's first of all, if you know me, you know I have a philosophy that I live by. You know, every time I sell a painting, I like to buy a piece of art from some of my friends who haven't got their big break, right?
Yeah.
So before the pandemic hit, you know, I had a really, really good a couple months, and I had my eye on this really beautiful $15,000 Rolex, right? And I was and that was going to be, and that was going to be a treat to myself. I'm not trying to brag, I'm not trying to show, but that was something that, like, I wanted. I had a great couple months, and that was going to be like my treat to myself, and I did tons of research. I was looking around for the best price, blah, 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 but I had my eye on this watch so bad, and I wanted it so bad. So, just
before
I grind, I grind really hard, so just when I'm about to pull the trigger, one of my good friends who's a painter as well, he just had a baby, and him and his wife, so he called me. He was like, "Hey, what are you doing?" He's like, "Dude, I need to talk to you. Can you come over?" I was like, "All right, cool." So I come over. He's like, "Yo, things are so crazy right now. I just got laid off. We just had a baby, and blah, blah, blah." I was like, "Dude, don't worry. Keep your head up. You got this." And he's also a painter as well. So I was like, "Dude, show me what you got. Let me buy two of your pieces, So I ended up buying two of his pieces. And it was just enough to, like, buy diapers, pay the rent and everything like that. But they were just so appreciated that, like, I did that, and his girlfriend came and gave me a big hug. He's like, "Oh my God, thank you so much." I'm like, "Dude, it's not a problem. I love art. I'm a big fan of his work anyway. So it was the timing. It's just perfect."
Right.
So I go home, and I was like, maybe now's not the time to, like, buy this watch, and I'm sure there's other artists out there that are in the same position.
Right.
So the $15,000 that I was going to go and buy this watch, I was just like, let me go and just buy as much art as possible. So I went on Instagram, and, I made this little video. I was like, "Hey, listen, New York's been really good to me. I'm buying as much art as possible. DM me, some samples of your work. I'm not painting." Now, mind you, I wasn't buying, I just want to be very clear. Mm-hmm. I wasn't buying like $5,000 paintings, $10,000 paintings. Sure. Mm-hmm. The max budget was like, between $300 to $500. I did this thing on Instagram, and it just kind of went, it kind of took off. And let me tell you, man, I just got tons and tons and tons of messages. And I just got tons of artwork. So I took everything off my walls that was in my apartment, mm-hmm. doing storage, because I have a storage unit which is filled with art. So, and I was like, "All right, since this is going to take off, let me just remove my collection that's on my wall right now and call this, my COVID collection."
Yeah.
So I took everything off my wall, and I was just waiting for stuff to come in. And my walls right now are covered with art, and I love all of them. I think they're awesome. So, but the really cool thing about what happened with this, it became a thing where my collectors saw what I was doing and was just like, "Hey, listen, I really wanted to help. I think what you're doing is really cool. Here's $20,000. Keep doing what you're doing." And I was, I told him, I was like, "Well, listen, I'll have people DM." He's like, no, "Just keep buying art. And when this is all over, I'll just come by and pick stuff out that I like." And I was like, "All right, cool." And next thing you know, I have another collector that did the same thing. So it's just been going, it's been like this non-going thing where I'm just constantly buying all this art right now. So it's been cool.
So you started the effect of everybody, of people wanting to do this for others.
Yeah. Because, when this was happening, it affected everybody, It affected, bartenders, actors, writers, musicians, and everything like that. And at the time, I just felt like, the frontline workers were being well taken care of, the nurses and the doctors were being well taken care of, which they deserve. I'm not taking away from all their hard work and everything like that, but so much attention was going toward them, getting their college tuition paid for, and free food and free, car rentals and blah, 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 which again, they totally, totally deserve it. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a nurse, but I felt like I still wanted to do my part and help out. So I just wanted to help out my community, which was the art community.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for doing that for them. And have you had any inspiration during this time? Have you always done Snoopy?
No. You know, it's so funny. So when COVID happened, you know, there was, it was really bad, especially here in New York City.
Yeah.
And what I mean by really bad, because like in the news, it was just a constant reminder of like death, you know? Yeah. It was like, oh, they turned Central Park into a hospital. They turned the Javits Center into a hospital. We had this massive ship come in, you know, and
with nobody in it.
Yeah.
Nobody was in it.
And docks, a reminder of like what's going on. You know, people were dying. We had these makeshift refrigerators with all these, you know, bodies and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So like, it was like nonstop 24 hours a day, you know? And I just felt like, you know, I wanted to put a smile on people's faces again, you know? So I just went back to old school stuff that, you know, as a kid that always put a smile on my face was just like, you know, old school cartoons. So I came up with this series called like, you know, Remember Your Innocence, the COVID-19, you know? So it was like, you know, I painted like 19 paintings of just, you know, vintage cartoon characters. And, you know, it just started off as a joke, you know, I did one. You know, because the art stores were closed. Everything, the only thing that was open was Home Depot. So I was painting a Masonite board, you know, because I needed to paint. And it just started off as this like a little fluke. I just did a little Snoopy thing. And as soon as I posted, it became this huge domino effect, you know. So, and the show just kind of just took off and the series just kind of took off, yeah.
I love it. That's Franklin behind you.
Yeah, yeah. So Franklin's behind me right now, the revolution. You know, because it's all about the movement right now, about the revolution. Right. And then, and you can see the word love inside that revolution.
Yes, so. That's so cool. That's so cool. What's your, what do you have coming up next? Can I just ask you one question? Can you go to Cavalier? Is Cavalier open?
So they're open by appointments only.
Okay.
Yeah, they'll be open. They'll be open in 2 weeks with a regular schedule. But right now, it's right now it's appointments only.
Oh, okay. It's a very nice place. I remember we met Mr. Cavalier, Ron Cavalier.
Yeah.
I remember him. Very nice man.
Yeah.
So what's your next, you have any inspiration coming up next?
I'm always just working right now. You know, Remember Your Innocence series is doing well. And then I'm working on my No Comment series again, which is, I'm super excited about, these massive, paintings of women with duct tape in their mouth because they feel like they don't have a voice, but you'll see that coming soon. But yeah, so I'm just constantly in the studio working.
All right, thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye.
Bye.
To learn more about Guy Stanley Palloach, please head over to www.cavaliergalleries.com. They are located in New York, Greenwich, Connecticut, Nantucket, Massachusetts, and Palm Beach, Florida.
We're here with Sylvia Edwards. She works for Stephen C. Troy, Inc. It's a real estate company in New York City. Sylvia, thank you so much for joining us today. What's going on with New York City? Thank you, Sylvia, so much. What's going on with New York City? Are people making a mistake by moving out?
Absolutely.
Okay.
People are leaving, and I do think it is a mistake. I mean, if you look back in New York's history, recent history, from 9/11, people thought, no way. New York is a scary place to live right now. It's being targeted. It's being attacked. People left then.
Right.
We rebound it. We rebound it quickly. I am not a native New Yorker, but I've been here over 10 years. So I call myself a New Yorker at this point in time.
Yeah.
I'm partial to New York. You have to, New Yorkers stick around. They stick it out. Real New Yorkers stick around and stick it out. And leaving right now is a mistake. Same thing in 2008 when the financial crisis. No way are we going to be able to rebound. How long is it going to take if we do rebound?
Right.
This is the same thing. Of course, this is a crisis like we've never seen before, of course, and it is still ongoing. Yeah. We're definitely not past it. We're not out of the woods. But we will get past this. And unfortunately, everybody can't stay. I think that's just no matter where you are, whether you had a job in Chicago, whether you had a job in DC and your job is no longer there, you have to make that personal decision whether to stay or to go. And as we all know, Melissa, New York is not for everybody.
Yeah. Especially right now, too. I mean, it's just scary with all the crime, the protesting, the homelessness all over. And I know that it's so hard to get a U-Haul truck. That's why everybody is moving out. So how can I ask you, like, an apartment that was $3,000 a month, how much is it now, would you say?
If you are savvy, which you definitely have to be, because the landlords are not going to give you anything. I mean, they're facing a crisis themselves. They still have to pay their taxes. I'm not completely on the landlord side, and I'm not completely on the renter side. You have to be in the middle here. But an apartment that was $3,000, you've got to talk to your landlord, because they're still going to price it at $3,000.
Okay.
And if you can talk to them and work out some type of deal, then you may get a $200-$300 discount for, you know, the first year, and then do a 2-year lease, and you may get it a little bit less or back at the same price, at the $3,000 price.
Are they doing the, free rent for 2 months or something? Are some people doing that?
Some landlords are definitely doing that, because especially during this, the winter season, no landlord wants an empty apartment. Mm-hmm. So it's better to get something than to get nothing.
What would you say the percentage of people moving out of New York City?
You know, it's hard to put a number to that.
Yeah.
We have seen some move out. I have to say, there have been people who have come back. I mean, if you were here during COVID, you see on the streets that it is definitely busier. It's much busier. I love to see the eateries outdoors, and people are sitting out there and enjoying themselves, but it's definitely busier. I have to admit, during the depths of COVID time of April, May, the streets were barren, especially Midtown New York. You did not want to walk outside.
No.
It felt apocalyptic.
Yeah. It's very scary. Can you explain to people who live in, where are you from, Sylvia, if you don't mind me asking?
Originally, I grew up in Chicago and moved here to New York. So
can you explain to someone who lives, let's just say in Nebraska, what New York City feel was like during the pandemic?
It was out of the movies. I kept thinking of Will Smith's movie, I Am Legend, and there was just nobody on the street, and he had the fake people set up in the stores. That was what New York felt like in the depth of COVID in April. I just got back on the subway train last week
for the first time
since March. Yes.
Oh, wow. What
I have been walking and biking the whole time, not going, you know, further than the distance that I really wanted to go. But now I have to get back on the train. I've been renting cars if I needed to go, because I was showing a lot in Brooklyn, actually. And I rented a car to go out to Brooklyn. I did not get on the train, but I'm back on the train.
Back on the train again, back on the saddle again.
back in the business.
That's right.
To work, back to full swing of things. Yeah.
So,
but there is more supply than demand right now.
Right.
You know, so it will definitely even out. I mean, like I said, the winter months, no landlord wants their units empty. So it will even out again.
You said in the very beginning that people are making a mistake by leaving, because we will come back, and we will come back stronger, I believe. It always happens.
It always happens. You have people I've had a client from Texas who bought a place here on Central Park West, sight unseen. So he just bought it through showing from virtual. So closings are happening. People do not need to be in person anymore, as you very well know.
Yeah.
Only people that really show up to the closing table are the broker, of course, and the lawyers.
How long have you been a real estate agent for, Sylvia?
I have been a licensed real estate agent here in New York for, 7 years. And I did used to sell in Chicago. Now I'm telling my age where you didn't have to have a license, but yeah. I sold quite a bit in Chicago as well.
How is Chicago doing now? Because I know Chicago is kind of like here, right? And LA is the same.
Chicago is kind of like here, but you have your very strong areas. I have to say the north side is great. South side is great. Immediate south side is great, where there's still deals to be had. And if you fortunate enough to have holding power, staying power, then you can buy something, hold it as an investment, either live in it right now and then rent it out later.
Okay. Thank you so much. Where can people find you, Sylvia?
You can call me 917-612-6579 direct. I am at Stephen C. Troy, Inc. We've got listings, one bedrooms, two bedrooms available. So there's definitely deals to be had. And most people like some off-market properties as well, which we have too. So.
Can I just ask you one quick question? What are they letting, do you have to sign a lease if you're renting? Yeah. I mean, right now, because of the pandemic, you know, they're not being lenient on that. You do have to sign like a year or two lease.
You do still need to sign a lease. Okay. I mean, unless the unit is a 6-month rental or short-term rental. Yeah. You still do need to sign a 1-year, 2-year lease. It is up to the landlord's discretion to whether or not they want to release you from that, but that is still the standard.
Are you afraid of a second wave that's gonna hit?
I am not. I am being cautiously optimistic. Okay. I'm being cautiously optimistic. I know I have a couple of friends over in Europe, a really good friend in France, and she said they're back on lockdown. And I am cautiously optimistic that that will not happen here, that people will do what they said we should be doing, wearing the mask, you know, kind of staying distant from each other, which is, it's definitely difficult to do. And especially we're in this 7 months later, it's difficult to stay away from people, which I completely understand. But I think if we do what we need to, nobody wants to see another shutdown.
No.
Nobody wants to see another shutdown. Nobody wants to see another lockdown. And frankly, I just don't think that we'll be able to survive that.
Mm-hmm. What do you think? I keep asking you these questions. I'm sorry, but I'm coming up with them in my head. With Broadway, I had a critic on. Yeah. So what are your thoughts about that and all the money that we're losing in New York City?
I think it's of course horrible. When I heard that they were closing until 2021, you have to think about not just the Broadway actors. You've got to think about the lighting people, the restaurants, of course, in the area, the ticket holders, the ticket people, the ticket concierge, the ushers. You've got to think about all those little people, the costume, designers, yes. The set designers. There's so much that happens behind the scenes that to put on that performance, and I realize, of course, that it is pricey to put on a Broadway show, but all of those people behind those scenes are depending on those incomes. And sadly, they're just not there right now.
Right.
So I am completely devastated that Broadway has shut down until then. But I mean, I understand that, of course, if anybody's ever gone to Broadway, you know those seats are closed. Everybody is right there. And if you're in the front row, the actors really can. You can reach out and touch them.
It's true. And they spit on you too.
Yes.
I remember.
I wasn't going to say that, but thank you, Melissa.
Okay. So I remember I went to go see Of Men and Mice with James Franco, and he ended up spatting on us. We were in the front row. So they are very close. To, you know,
they're
what are they going to, you can't expect these people to wear masks as they're, you know, do it. That's not really fair. So we just have to wait it out. And I thank you so much for your time, Sylvia. You're amazing.
Thank you, Melissa. I appreciate it.
We'll put all your information up. So if anybody is looking to rent or to buy, they'll contact you.
Sure.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Thanks
so much.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
Bye. You can reach New York City real estate agent Sylvia Edwards of the Stephen C. Troy Real Estate Agency at area code 917-612-6579.
If you have a vegan product, make your vegan claim official with the only accredited vegan trademark in the world. Visit www.beveg.com. That's www.beveg.com to apply now. Making a Difference is sponsored by Preferred Health Magazine. Please visit www.preferredhealthmagazine.com today and subscribe.